We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Report, Week 11. It's not the best week for us, maybe in terms of fantasy and other stuff. How's it going, Hassan?
It's going well. I'm sick as a dog, but we made it. So I apologize to anyone who's listening to be sniffling. I just bear with it. The takes will well be worth your time.
This is the kind of commitment we need on the Fantasy Football Report. It's like the Jordan Flu game of podcasts. You can't miss this.
Yeah, and you know what else you can't miss? There's a lot that we have to actually talk about today, and I'm really excited. But realistically, the first thing, I mean, and it's impossible to not talk about this, but Justin Fields continues to just get it done. Not really passing a lot, but getting it done with his legs. 18 carries, 85 yards, and a score. I mean, this is like the epitome of the Konami code, right?
Yeah, for sure. What Fields has been doing over the last few weeks, really the last 5 weeks, basically he's been really showing us he's kind of at least on the cusp of that elite tier of quarterbacks, if not already there. Like, you're already you've already got him in the conversation. I think you have to, with Justin Herbert, probably above Joe Burrow with guys like that. It looks like, hurt his shoulder in this game, so obviously there's some questions about if he has to miss time, what this offense is going to look like without him. Probably not very good. I don't know. What do we think of not only a Fields performance, but of what his absence might mean?
What his absence might mean is, just remember, like, pre-explosion Fields, like, that's what we're going to get. A lot of very uninspired David Montgomery up the gut.
Just remember that time you looked in the back of your refrigerator and found like a moldy block of cheese. That's what we're going to get.
Yeah. And given that we're coming up on Thanksgiving, hopefully everyone's fridges are nice and stocked and you're all ready for a big old feast. But yeah, it's going to be sadness, right? Like, you can't start Darnell Mooney in the absence of Fields, in my opinion. I've fortunately got much better options than Mooney in leagues where I've got him. If you don't, you just have to roll with it, unfortunately. But just remember, this is still a fairly low flow offense when it comes down through the air. And so if you see the Bears trying to shorten it, it's just not going to end up well. I mean, I really am not excited for the Bears sans Fields. I mean, realistically, he's been this offense. He's the reason why they're winning or why they're losing, but they're like losing in a way that's, that should give you hope for the future if you're a Bears fan or just a fan of good offensive football, right? Like, I mean, the Bears can't go back in time and undo this draft, right? Mm-hmm. They can't go back in time and pick one of the elite wide receivers who they should have, right? But you know what they can do? They can let Justin Fields cook, and they've been doing that. So it's good to see that, like, the fan base has a dedicated quarterback who looks to be, like, the future. So they don't need to go back to the well. And it only took them about, a year and a half to let this happen.
Yeah. Now, in the previous two games, Cole Kmet has actually had two touchdowns in back-to-back games. And this week, he didn't quite get it done. I mean, part of that is Fields wasn't as productive a passer in this one as we've seen him in the last two games. But Do you think that was just a blip, those two games, or should we expect to see him bounce back? Not necessarily to that level, but closer to it.
Nah, I think it's a bit of a blip. Like I mean, we've seen them try and make Cole Kmet happen, and the fantasy community has tried to make Cole Kmet happen, but it's, you know, to quote Mean Girls, like, we just can't make Cole Kmet happen. That's the exact quote, by the way. If you guys go back in time and watch, I would just watch that movie, that's exactly what she says. So I mean, look, the tight end position is an absolute disaster. Like, we're at the point with Dallas Goedert now on injured reserve. We're to the point where you're looking at Travis Kelce and then Mark Andrews, and then, like, Justice League Gulf. Because there's you can argue for literally anyone there. And I mean, for a while, we were optimistic about Kyle Pitts. He had 5 targets today, caught 3 of those for 43 yards, no scores, and then he got hurt, right? And we can't even, I mean, he's sort of been on this cusp. Like, one of the questions I had earlier this week was, do I drop Kyle Pitts for Tyler Higbee? You know, like, this is where we're at, right?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get your take on, realistically, what happens with Kyle Pitts? Like it sounds like he avoided serious ligament injury, but, I mean, what happens?
Yeah. I mean, Pitts is he's hard to start, but at the tight end position at the same time, there aren't many options. Like, Cole Kmet's 8 points today probably would have helped a lot of teams, including a lot of mine. So, you know, if Pitts is, like, if the injury isn't serious and he's going to be playing, then it's still going to be tough to trust him. And if he's not going to play, I mean, I guess that means more targets for Drake London. I guess that's a good thing for London in a way. Although what really needs to happen is you either need a coaching change, quarterback upgrade. Probably you need both for these weapons to kind of have the sort of returns we're really hoping for.
I think a coaching change would be fine, frankly, mostly because, I mean, look, we never know what Marcus Mariota could have been, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a shame because he could have been Justin Fields, right? He's not as big as him. He probably has a better arm than him. But, you know, like, the fact that he gets 13 carries, 25 yards, a score, he's, like, reasonably accurate through the air. He's not particularly good. He's doing what this team needs to be done, which is, I mean, somehow they're winning, but it's they're winning on variance, right? Like, when you run this much and you bleed that much clock off, variance is going to be your friend, and that's what they've embraced. Yeah. It's just so weird that they've stockpiled some of these elite wide receivers only for them to just pound the rock and really not throw the ball, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that has to do with coaching.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the main culprit here, is that their game plan is not suited to make these guys into, you know, fantasy stars. And it doesn't look like they want to change that. So unless we get a new a new coach here, I think Pitts is going to be hard to trust, even if he is healthy. And if he's not, you know, honestly, like, you say, okay, that means more targets for Drake, for London. But, I mean, when London and, I don't know, Mecole Pruitt are the only guys on the field, like, you can't play any of them.
Yeah, I mean, with London, you're going to go from, what, 3 targets to 6?
Yeah.
Like, and what is
gonna be,
like,
worse targets, because they're going to be all
he's going to have covered.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, it's just going to be Bane all around, right? You know, wanted to jump a little bit over to the Browns Bills. The game was moved to a neutral field. It's a bit of a shame because I really want, in my heart of hearts, I knew it was dangerous to play at Orchard Park, but it would have been very funny watching a bunch of these players who are all shorter than 6 feet try to run through the snow. Devin Singletary shorter than 6 feet, Kareem Hunt shorter than 6 feet, Nick Chubb I believe is also shorter than 6. So, you know, you'd get these very funny little snow trails, right? just imagining that.
It's like, have you ever watched the Amazon Prime Vision Thursday night thing where they trace the route?
Yeah, it'd be like that. It's like through the snow in real time. It'd be like, it'd be our own little snow tracer, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to throw a bunch of bodies at this massive bank of snow to make something happen. But, you know, I guess fortunate that something, you know, that they moved it over. They were all able to play. They got this game in. What really struck me a little bit, and this was the game that I actually watched, was the Browns appeared to be the better team, and yet they couldn't win, which is sad. Josh Allen post injury is, you know, continues to look off. I would say not particularly bad, but definitely off. He's also not running a lot. He completed 18 of his 27 passes for 197 yards and a score. Also, only rushed 3 times for 7 yards. What really stands out to me, in all honesty, in this game is the fact that they actually use their running backs like running backs, right? Devin Singletary had 18 carries for 86 yards and a score. James Cook, 11 carries, 86 yards, no scores, but he looked like the better runner. So, Blair, my question to you is it finally James Cook time?
Yeah, it might be. It's weird the way they've been using him all season. You know, when he came in, we were kind of hoping he was going to take the pass-catching role. He had 2 targets in this one, which was the same as Singletary. So it's not quite materialized yet, but I think with how efficient a runner he was today, they probably are going to be looking for other ways to get the ball in his hands. So hopefully that means more carries, but especially more targets for Cook. And I mean, you know, they brought in Nyheim Hines, but barely used him at all today. I think he had 1 carry and 1 target. Yeah, 1 carry for -8 yards. Duke Johnson, not a factor in this game. I don't even know if he was active. But yeah, I think this is definitely looking like this is time for Cook to earn some more work. And I think after this performance, the coaches would notice that. So I'm optimistic for sure.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, realistically, with Allen wasn't on the injury report, but you can tell he's not 100%. So it would make sense to not have Allen take those big hits up the middle when he doesn't need to. Mm-hmm. When you've got 2 explosive, I mean, James Cook, frankly, looked very explosive today. Like, I don't know if you watched it or not, but he looked very explosive.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of this game. I saw some highlights, but he definitely looked, you know, I mean, if you're seeing highlights of him, they look good. But you can tell by the efficiency that he's playing well on the ground. So, you know, a lot of these long runs stand out in coaches' minds.
Yeah, one of the big things, at least to me, was the fact that they didn't really have to rely on Diggs. It felt like they were really trying to get Gabe Davis going here. He had 7 targets, got 5 of them for 68 yards and no scores. Stephon Diggs only had 5 targets, got 4 of them for 48 yards and a score. In fact, he actually dropped a second touchdown, or he could have had a much bigger day. Dawson Knox was the most productive receiver they had here. 7 targets, 7 catches, 70 yards, 7-7-7, right, in a sense. I'm not too concerned about Diggs. Frankly, this is like a blip. He was due to somewhat claw back, but man, in your opinion, Gabe Davis, right? Like, this is what he does, but he's not really like, is this really what you expected out of a guy going so high?
Yeah, I think you really expected more. We've obviously seen the kind of explosive games that he's been able to have, but they're really few and far between at this point. I think after his playoff game, you expected him to kind of take the next step forward, and that hasn't really happened. He's obviously getting on the field a lot more than he was last year and getting some more opportunity, but he hasn't necessarily been able to turn it into production yet. So yeah, I think obviously if you drafted him in the 3rd round, you're pretty upset, pretty disappointed with what you got out of him. You know, he's someone who I've liked since he came into the league, but it doesn't look like he's maybe as talented as we thought. I hesitate to say that because there's a lot going on here with Allen's injury, but you know,
yeah. I mean, even before he was injured, like Diggs just draws so many targets. I mean, like, realistically, Gabe Davis is probably a better real life NFL player than a fantasy pick, right? And especially at that ADP, because he really opens up the inside of the field, but frankly, Diggs can do it without that guy, right? Like that's the thing is that Diggs doesn't necessarily need like a number 2, you know what I mean? like we saw him like So that's like that's something that I find personally to be a little bit interesting. I mean, like a friend of the show, Ben Gresh, made a really good point about Gabe Davis and that his ADP was definitely going to be depressed if he was in your home league as opposed to one of the sharper leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I mean, it's a good point about Diggs because last year you didn't have Davis. You didn't really have anyone in kind of this deep role. You had Cole Beasley as the – is that right?
I don't even remember who they had. They had Knox and Knox. They had Knox. They had like just a bunch of guys. Like it's hard to really explain who they had, right? On the other side of the football, this is it. This is the end for Jacoby Brissett as a starter. Mm-hmm. He acquitted himself kind of nicely here. 28 for 41, 28 completions for 41 attempts, 324 yards and 3 scores. Both of our boys, Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones, went off.
Yeah.
Cooper with the 12 targets, 8 catches, 113 yards, and 2 scores. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 6 targets, 5 catches, 61 yards, and 2 scores. So, I mean, obviously they were helped by the fact that they were trailing and then also playing in a dome. What are your expectations now for these guys? I mean, with Deshaun Watson, right? Like sky's the limit?
Yeah, I mean, you could see Watson putting up the kind of numbers that Brissett had today on a much more regular basis than Brissett was. So I think we know that Watson can support two really good receivers. I don't know if Peoples-Jones is quite at the level of like a Will Fuller, if you're thinking of Cooper as the Hopkins. But I definitely think that we could see more games like this where both these guys go off with Watson playing. And I think, you know, at the very least you have Brissett saying, hey, if something happens to Watson, I'm still a good option for something.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I think this wide receiver core is actually probably one of the better ones that like Watson has had a chance to play with, right? Like, it's not going to be to that end, Watson's like more elite two wide receivers when they were both healthy at the time were Nuke and Will Fuller, right? Mm-hmm. But now he's also going to get two very viable pass catching tight ends. Njoku returned today. Yeah. He showed off his massive hops, 3 targets, 2 catches, 17 yards. One of them was this massive, like he hurdled a defender, showing that he looked to be pretty healthy. But Harrison Bryant actually saw 7 targets, caught 4 of those for 41 yards, right? So you've got these safety blankets, and also David Bell is coming on. You know, he had 5 targets, caught 4 for 22 yards.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about him because he's someone that we were kind of high on as a receiving prospect. And obviously, you know, I think this might be his top scoring game from a fantasy perspective. So he hasn't really shown us anything yet. Obviously, you know, we can't expect everyone to come out of the gate blazing like Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson or something. But
no. But he's fine. He's fine for who he is, right? Like he's going to be buried on this depth chart. He's someone I'm definitely going to be on in a second year wide receiver bump. I mean, you'd be kind of nuts to discount that a little bit. He's probably going to go fairly low because not a lot of people would be counting on him, is my hope.
I think it's a good sign that he's gotten 5 targets in back-to-back games. I think if he keeps up this level of like 6 points a game the rest of the way and he doesn't show us some kind of explosion, then it's going to be hard for me to, you know, to click draft on his name when the time comes. But
keep in mind, when I think of like David Bell, I'm thinking 14th, 15th, 16th round.
Yeah.
Right? Like fire territory.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it would, like, that's where a lot of like opponents are picking washed veterans.
Right.
So here, like, would you rather have, man, what's his name? Kendrick Bourne or David Bell next year?
I've never drafted Kendrick
Bourne. No, you never will. That's probably
not true. But yeah, I see your point.
Yeah, you see, or Isaiah McKenzie versus David Bell, right? You're getting to the oh dear God, I need someone, right?
Right. If he's that kind of price, then for sure. I mean, he doesn't have to do a lot in year one for you to still be intrigued in year two. I mean, we've seen guys come out of nowhere, DJ Chark or something, do nothing in their rookie year and then come out of nowhere. So it's not impossible, but you would hope to see at least one game where he's, you know,
we're
getting 100 yards or a touchdown or something.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
One guy I did want to talk about, I mean, I guess it's the whole team we need to talk about. Jamal Williams had two touchdowns again today. No, he had three touchdowns.
Three. He had three.
64 yards for three touchdowns on the ground. No targets. Justin Jackson also had a decent game. DeAndre Swift is like the odd man out here. I don't know. What are you doing if you have DeAndre Swift on your team and he's active?
I've been playing him. Yeah. I've just been like weeping, but I've been playing him. Yeah. I mean, he's still getting targets, right?
Yeah.
But like, my real big question is, if he's truly hurt, what is going on? You know,
why is he playing?
Like, let him get healthy,
right?
Because I mean, to that end, he's still gonna see targets. It just they like Jamal Williams had like two routes run last week and zero like four the week before that. Like, he's really not like the pass catching guy. We know Justin Jackson also isn't a pass catching guy. He was in for mop up duty. They're still letting Swift catch these balls. It's just so weird because he's playing. He's not really on the injury report or not. No one's really talking about it that much. Mm. And then it's like, this is what you get. I mean, Jamal Williams is playing great. Like, he's been a true, in my opinion, he's been a league winner where you had to take him. And then you're just sort of getting this, all the short yardage work in the green zone, right? And he's been and don't get me wrong, he's been incredibly, incredibly lucky to convert all of these opportunities that he's seeing. But the fact that he continues to see this kind of work, but then also deliver is very sticky. So it means, like, yeah, if you're starting Swift, you're doing the same with Dalvin Cook, where you're hoping for these big plays.
Yeah.
And Swift hasn't looked like himself, which is a real shame because we know how explosive he can be.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, he did have the touchdown today, which kind of saved you if you ended up starting him, which I'm sure most people did if they had him. Only three targets, but Goff only attempted 26. So it's, in terms of target share, it's decent. So, you know, if it ends up being a situation where you have Jamal Williams getting most of the carries and Swift getting most of the targets, that's not ideal for where you drafted Swift. But it's something you can probably, hopefully you can live with if you're strong enough elsewhere.
Yeah, I think I'm really not, but I just have to live with it because there's not much I can do. You know, there's not much you can do, right? Like, you can try it, and you like, even if you like, you will strike out in waivers. Unfortunately, you get pockets of production, but you know, as you go through the bye week crunch, it's very difficult to. I mean, I can't play ETN or Kenneth Walker or any of these like guys who I've been playing because they're not there. They're not options.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're not, if you just don't have any other better opportunities, you're not going to get there. I mean, and then on the other hand, you had Saquon Barkley, who after a very hot start just really cooled off. Daniel Jones, 7 carries, 50 yards and a score, completed 27 of his 44 attempts for 341 yards and a score. He also had 2 ins, which is a bit sad. But I mean, he got the whole offense going. Yeah. Richie James got going. Darius Slayton got going. And then, of course, Wandale Robinson, 9 of his 13 targets for 100 yards, and then he got hurt. So, Blair, like, this is a real, real bummer and a setback for Wandale. And like, I was really rooting for him to come on.
It is for sure. I didn't see this injury, but it didn't sound like it was like a good news. And obviously the Giants play on Thanksgiving Day. So it seems like there's a real risk of him missing at least one game, possibly more, right as he's starting to come on in a big way. So that's a real bummer. And it seems like, you know, well, I don't know, hard to say. It seems like he was helping their offense too, even though they only put up 18 points today. But as you said, they had a lot of guys getting there in different ways. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this offense works without him, if guys like Slayton and Richie James can actually step up, make something happen, if they try and rely more on Saquon. But obviously a big bummer for Wandale if he's kind of seriously hurt.
Yeah, and he's a guy who I'm genuinely expecting that's a guy who's going to see a massive second year bump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's you're going to have to, if you want Wandale next year, my best guess is you're going to have to draft him in the eighth.
Yeah, that's probably right. I think even assuming this injury is not too bad, like even if he misses, several games and has kind of a shortened season and you don't get to see a lot of him in the second half, I think he's done enough this season that a lot of drafters will have, you know, will remember how explosive he looked in some games and say, okay, if we can get that for a full season, this guy's a league winner. And that's probably right. You know, he's worth it maybe in the eighth, I think, at this point.
I think he's worth that. I mean, it's like where people were taking Kadarius Toney. Mm-hmm. They're taking him. Yep. And then Kadarius Toney got steamed way up.
Yeah.
Right? And now you're getting bailed out by the fact that Kadarius Toney is a chief. I mean, and bailed out is still a hypothetical, right?
right.
Like with Wandale, we've seen, unlike Kadarius Toney, where you got like these massive, in just mind-bending like efficiency and end results. Like with Wandale, when he's been healthy, he's been putting together and stringing together these very solid weeks where you could see him doing it week in, week out as your number one possession receiver, kind of like a Jarvis Landry would, right?
Mm, yeah.
And so. I mean, that's kind of who, like, he's like 5'8", 185, you know, like he's not like a Jamar Chase type of guy, but that's who you're getting. I mean, and he's good, you know, he's not bad.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a good comp.
Landry. Yeah.
Well, he's, I think quite a bit faster than Landry too.
So. He is. Landry's the guy I had in my mind for David Bell, but they both sort of fit that archetype really, really well, like a possession receiver. Shorter possession receiver. Cause like Keenan is kind of a bigger possession receiver, but, right. Not much else to really talk about in this game. Sun God remains Sun God.
Yeah, I did want to get your thoughts on, we had some news on Jameson Williams this week because he's close to being able to return. I think Dan Campbell said they're looking at week 13 for his return. Do you think he can come in and have an impact right away?
I kind of doubt it. I think they're going to get him as like first NFL reps and stuff. I really am not expecting a lot out of Jameson Williams this year. Like week 13 is very late to come on.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of these guys returning from ACL tears take a few games to really get back on track. So I think for them, it's very important to just get him some playing time, right? Like I'll be pleasantly surprised if he does pop off, just to be clear. But for everyone who's been stashing them in their IR and then it's like, oh, my wide receiver problems are going to be solved now that Jameson Williams is back. That is not the case. Right. Like he is definitely a guy who you want on your best ball teams because of where he was going. And then outside of that, if you're starting him in like the high leverage weeks in fantasy football, something's gone. And I'm sorry, something's gone very horribly wrong for you.
Well, that goes without saying, but
yeah, I'm not necessarily one of those see it to believe it analysts, but like I am big on see it to believe it with a rookie wide receiver coming off his first ACL tear.
I think if something's gone that wrong for me, and to be clear, it has in a lot of leagues, I'm starting Williams just for shit.
For fun, right? Yeah. But like I think if you have an opportunity, like you're not like, I mean, you know, if you're like 500 and you're a favorite, there's no way you're starting Jameson Williams to like, you know, down the stretch.
Yeah.
Forecast favorite, I should say. I want to move on from this game just a little bit because another rookie receiver today, I mean, Chris Olave popped right off. got 5 of his 6 targets for 102 yards and a score. Where are you drafting Chris Olave next year?
That is a good question. Olave has been honestly, I'd have to look at this, but he's been among the best rookie receivers of the season in terms of actual like fantasy output. I think you could make an argument for taking him as early as the 5th round. And I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be in on him at that price or slightly earlier, but I don't hate that. I mean, if you're expecting a second year bump from a guy who's put up, you know, multiple 100-yard games, who's consistently among the league leaders in air yards, like 4th or 5th round doesn't seem that crazy.
Well, yeah, that's aggressive, but I think you're right. I think that's where he's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what, like, it's hard to think of guys who have had kind of as consistent rookie years as he has, as solid, you know. It's not like he's had that blow-up game apart from even in week 3 when he put up 147 yards. That was only – he didn't score a touchdown. So his fantasy output was 24 points, almost 23.7. And outside of that, he hasn't really had a big explosive game yet. So there's definitely some reason to be cautious. But, I mean, you know, the touchdowns are a little bit fluky. We've seen him – get the yardage, and we know he's getting the opportunity in terms of air yards and weighted opportunity. So,
and he's doing it regardless of who's under center, right? Mm-hmm. Jameis and Dalton.
Yeah.
So, I mean, make of that what you will. I do think that that's a fair price. If you want to move on, I wanted to quickly talk about the way the Broncos just blew this game.
Yeah.
Davante Adams is an absolute savant, right? Like, I mean, he 13 targets, 7 catches, 141 yards, 2 scores, 35 yarder in overtime to win it.
Yeah.
Derek Carr had an absolute pedestrian game right until the end. Completed 23 of his 37 passes for 307 yards and 2 scores. I mean, Davante Adams accounted for a lot of that, and the fact that they were even in it was because of how incredibly good Adams has looked today.
Yeah.
And there were reports that the Raiders are going to move on from him too, right? Carr, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can kind of see it just because he's been a little underwhelming this season, and the Raiders haven't necessarily been winning a ton of games with him in a division that is looking like it's a little bit easier than we expected coming into the season, you know? A little bit weaker than we thought it would be outside of the Chiefs. So, you know, I, from a fantasy perspective, Carr is someone that I was drafting a lot late. He got, you know, his price got steamed up a lot kind of in the middle of the offseason. So
he was he was QB 14.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that could be right. I'm thinking like, I remember getting him in like the 12th round, 13th round earlier in the offseason. And it could just be that all quarterbacks were getting steamed up.
They all got steamed up, right? Because this was an offseason where people were taking quarterbacks really friggin' early, like incredibly early. And then all of a sudden the elite tier is long gone. Mm-hmm. And then guys who theoretically had some upside suddenly, I mean, like, there's a reason why Trey Lance was going where he was going, right?
Yep.
And when you could have gotten Justin Fields like 4.5 rounds later, right? Mm-hmm. So that's sure, that sounds a little bit like hindsight bias-ish, right? But like, had we, like, you know, we were forced to pick these guys where we did. I mean, Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady's ADPs were undefensible this offseason. At the time and in hindsight, you could have gotten Tua as QB 16, 17, 18, right?
Right. And I guess
that was free money. I think Tua is like 28% owned on across all my teams.
Mm.
So like, that was free. Like, he's my most owned or my most rostered quarterback. My most rostered receivers are Drake London and the other guy, Sky Moore. That's not working out. No, but yeah, I mean, we don't have to go into my entire exposures list, but I was just saying that there was certain value in waiting as long as you hit the right guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you could lump Carr into that group with Brady and Stafford, where it's guys who are they don't have the rushing upside necessarily, and you know, and you're pretty disappointed with how they've been playing. And obviously, you would have preferred Tua or Fields or anyone. So you know, at a certain point, with the elite quarterbacks going way up, it pushes the price of all quarterbacks up, and you can kind of make a case that the elite quarterbacks are worth drafting at that price. Whereas you can't necessarily make a case for the next tier, even at a lower price than the elite guys, but at an elevated price from where they should be.
Yeah, even Kirk did not. I mean, we can talk about it now because it looks like that game is slowly coming to an end. Yep, it's over. So Kirk Cousins is the next guy there. It looks like they put Nick Mullins in because this is mop-up duty. So, you know, 12 for 23, 105 yards, no scores. Just got rocked, man. The Cowboys' pass rush completely clamped down on them. The Vikings lost 40-3 at home. You know, I'm not gonna say too much because like the Vikings were due for a horrible loss like this, considering they've had some very, very lucky wins.
Yeah.
Hawkinson, 9 targets, caught 5 of them for 34 yards. Justin Jefferson, 5 targets, 3 for 33. Dalvin Cook did a lot of, you know, a lot of empty calories there too for him, not a lot of targets. But I really wanted to talk about one, Dak Prescott looked bad. Man, like he didn't look particularly good, but he didn't have to because they looked kind of weak anyway, attacking the Vikings.
Yeah.
But it was Tony Pollard this is a real story here. 15 carries, 80 yards, 6 targets, 6 catches, 109 yards and 2 scores. And yet, you know, this team continues to give a lot of high leverage work to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's encouraging. It could mean a number of different things that Pollard and Elliott got the same number of carries. Like maybe that means Elliott is not fully healthy still, but maybe it means the Cowboys are kind of finally realizing what they have in Pollard, or finally realizing that Zeke's kind of on the tail end of his career. But yeah, I think you got to be encouraged by at least that kind of touch split if you're someone who owns Pollard. I mean, obviously you love 36.9 fantasy points. Can't argue with that. But, you know, it's probably, hopefully it's a little bit like when Jerry Jones says, oh, we're just going back to Zeke. He's actually either bluffing or doesn't know what he's talking about.
I think it's fine if they're going back to Zeke, right? Because we don't know what he truly means, right? Yeah. He could just mean we're going back to Zeke as a primary ball carrier between the 20s. I don't care about that.
Yeah,
we all know like the best thing that like Zeke's got going for him there is like 3 yards on falling down, right?
Yeah.
Like realistically, I as a guy who's rostered a lot of Pollard, I am personally very happy with the receiving usage and the fact that he just gets a ton of green zone work.
Yeah.
Right. Like, even if he's gonna, you know, even if he's losing red zone work to Zeke, that's kind of Zeke's job. Like I would much rather not have Pollard take unnecessary hits through the tackles. Right, yeah. Like I would much rather have Pollard as this guy who they get. I mean, like in this Eckler light role, really, right?
Yeah, especially lately when you've had Eckler kind of focusing a lot more on the receiving and giving up those rushing touches to
Isaiah and Michelle and all those other guys, right?
Yeah, and it hasn't, except for last week, it hasn't really hurt Eckler that much. Like he's still been able to score touchdowns. So
in that, and that's irrelevant of the league that you're in, right? Standard scoring, he's been doing well. Half PPR, he's doing well. PPR, he's doing well.
Yep.
That in premium, he's doing well, right? Like,
right. Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's exactly right. So even if you give up the low value touches to Zeke, Pollard can still be a smash.
Absolutely. I'm a very, 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 like, I'm personally very, very content with this kind of split. Yeah, I mean, like outside of this, the only other notes I really had were, and it's, you know, going back to some of the earlier games, but really the Eagles' wattage has gone out a little bit. Jalen Hurts still looks very, very good. Neither of the, you know, receivers got much. I mean, they were due for some incredibly overfraught touchdown regression. It looks like Jeff Saturday is doing a really good job getting his guys ready to play. I think the big takeaway for this for me is one, the Eagles really are giving up a lot on the ground, and two, Jonathan Taylor is coming into form at the wrong or right time, depending. Right? He had one very long touchdown run, which I thought was kind of cool, He had 22 carries, 84 yards and a score. He's also got three of his four targets for 10 yards, right? So what are your expectations for JT going forward? And do you think the Eagles will be back at just their scoring at their breakneck pace?
I'm pretty bullish on Taylor. I was hoping that with, you know, them trading Hines and also going back to Matt Ryan, that you'd see him get more involved in the passing game. And I think to a certain extent that happened. I mean, Ryan threw more to the running backs than Ellinger did, but you had Deion Jackson taking four targets, which is kind of a bummer if you're hoping on a big game from Taylor. But I'm still pretty optimistic. In terms of the Eagles, I think, like you said, some regression should have been expected. I mean, they were playing at a pretty high level before. Hurts looked good rushing the ball. He wasn't as good passing the ball. And I think it's fair to say he was overperforming as a passer earlier in the season. So some of this is expected. I think they're probably, you know, I think they're better than, you know, beating the Colts by one. You know, I don't know if the undefeated team we saw in the first half of the season is the real Eagles. Is probably not, but it's probably closer to where they can play or where they should be playing than team that loses to Washington and beats the Colts by one. Although Washington hasn't looked bad either lately. We could talk about that game, actually, just because of, I mean, you want to talk about exposures, fantasy exposures. Have you ever had your top exposure guy be someone who was cut in the middle of the season?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Eno, man. Yeah. talk about Bane. He was inactive today too.
Yeah.
We're talking about like true Bane there with Eno. It's just such a shame. Frankly, Damian Pierce looked bad today. If you really want to talk about, you know, what we saw, like we know Washington are a very good unit at stopping the run. Mm-hmm. But man, this was like Damian Pierce exposed, right? Like 10 carries, 8 yards, zero, whatever, 3 targets, 2 catches for 9 yards. This is like, it's going to sound like, oh, this guy is all about just pumping his own bags and talking about Eno or whatever. but like,
if you don't know that that's what the show is already, then what are you
doing? Look, man, like, I don't. Okay, we gotta talk about this just a little bit because Eno's gotta be more talented than Dare Ogunbowale and Rex Burkhead. I don't care if this man doesn't know the playbook. I don't care if this man literally doesn't know what plays are. One, the Cardinals did him dirty. Two, I think he's got a lot more talent. Like they should try to find some way to get him on the field at least, right? If beggars can't be choosers, they got very lucky with their Brandon Cooks output. 6 targets, 3 catches, 70 yards. His longest reception was 41 yards. He's been more of a part-time player since that little falling out they had. And quite frankly, the fact that Washington were covering him with a linebacker was why he was able to get that much work, like or produce that much, right? So yeah. So you're looking at a team that, in my personal opinion, well, one, they're going to move on from Davis Mills, right? Like this is just unacceptable garbage. For Washington, honestly, the Taylor Heinicke, he's a fine bridge quarterback, but the wheels are falling off, folks. The wheels are falling off.
You're talking about the Commanders?
For Heinicke, yes.
Okay.
He's playing at least 2 standard deviations better than his actual expectation, and a lot of this has to do with a handful of soft opponents. Mm-hmm. He still gets a soft opponent this week in the Falcons. And then 2 against the Giants and 49ers and the Browns to close it out, then the Cowboys. So you're going to see this massive regression monster, right?
Yeah. I mean, Washington's been winning some games, so you don't see them, like, especially with the Eagles, well, with them beating the Eagles and the Eagles maybe not looking that good. Like, it seems like they're still live to get a playoff spot, depending on how everyone plays down the stretch. I mean, 2 games against the Giants, if they can win, then they're right in that thing. So you don't see them giving up on the season. And I think that's kind of what it would take for them to finally go to Sam Howell.
Yeah. And the thing is it's fine. Like they're okay continuing to run Heinicke out there. It's not going to be the end of the world for them. They need to win, right? Like as you said, I'm just saying that there is going to be a reckoning coming for them soon because they have been playing well. Their schedule does toughen up a little bit, so they are going to be dealing with issues, yeah. Right? It's not when it happens. I don't know, but I sure as hell for the sake of my Superflex teams am happy that Geno Smith is coming back, so I've got a more reliable second option, right? What I will say, though, is with McKissick now on IR, it looks like it's the Antonio Gibbs season that we always hoped for.
Finally.
All my 10th place best ball teams with Antonio Gibson are excited. They're going to finish in ninth now. Yeah. They're going to get that late season push.
Yeah, I don't know if this is something to do with Heinicke or, I mean, he only attempted 27 passes today, which you can get away with against Houston. So like 3 targets on 27 attempts is pretty good. Well, maybe it's not pretty good, but it's fine. But yeah, in some of these tougher games that Washington has coming up, you can see Gibson definitely getting a lot more targets and hopefully turning into something useful. You know, we have touted him before on the site as like the next David Johnson. I don't necessarily see that happening, but
I mean, he resembles a lot like the current, like I guess late career David Johnson. Current David Johnson's on the Saints, man.
Is he?
Yeah. He's all back. Right. The Cincinnati Bengals just wrapped up their win over the Steelers. Only note there I've got really is Pickens went off, got 4 of his 6 targets for 83 yards. The team has been saying that they got rid of Claypool for Pat Freiermuth. That really came true today. 12 targets, got 8 of those for 79 yards. Unfortunately, this came at the expense of Deontay Johnson, only got 4 of his 5 targets for 21 yards. I really wanted to talk a little bit about Joe Mixon. He got hurt, had a concussion, poor guy. And today was a Samaje Perine show. You guys are going to hate this, but 11 carries, 30 yards, caught 4 of his 4 targets for 52 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, yes, I hate it. Thank you. I could have really used a little bit of that towards T. Higgins, got 13 of his 9, got 9 of his 13 targets for 148 yards. So, I guess for as long as Joe Mixon's out, man, Samaje Perine's plug and play, right?
Yeah, for sure. He kind of picked up right where Mixon left off, actually, with these multiple touchdown games. So, yeah, this offense, I guess, loves giving touchdowns to running backs, and we got to take advantage of that any way we can. If you were reading Sean's work, Sean's zero RB playbook, you knew to pick up Perine this week. So, shout out there.
Yeah, I mean, he is. Like,
you already own him.
In all honesty, Sean is just like for everyone who's listening, he's just a time traveler from the future. He just comes home, travels back, gives you the answers to the test next week. And if you're just not doing what he says, I mean, that's kind of on you, man. Like maybe just do what he says. Right.
I do want to ask about these Pittsburgh receivers, Pickens and Freiermuth, and where you think you might have them next year, where you might draft them next year. Cause they're both, you know, not doing a ton, but they're kind of both showing flashes that if this offense were a little bit better, if Pickett could take a little step forward in year two, these guys could maybe go off.
Oh, that's a good question. All right. So I think in this scenario, I would want Pickens would probably be a fourth, fifth round pick, right? So at the 4-5 turn, that's where I expect his ADP to settle. I think Deontay Johnson is going to go. I think they're all going to be in that fourth, fifth round tier. Right, because these are all very talented wide receivers as standalone players.
Yeah,
and ultimately, the way I see this working out for them is the market's not going to know what to do, and they're just going to go bam, 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 like back to back to back. Right, because I can see Pat Freiermuth going as high as DE5 or DE6 next year.
Right? Yeah, so you'd have him like ahead of Hockenson.
I think Hockenson might go DE5. So I think you go Kelce or Mandrews-Kelce, right? Mandrews-Kelce. I think Pitts is going to remain where he is, especially if the Falcons get a new wide receiver, like a new tight end. I mean, a new quarterback. What am I saying? then it's going to be some combination of Goddard, Hawkinson, Freiermuth.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's how I think it would shake out.
So you think all those guys hop Kittle and Waller? I mean, Waller.
I forgot about Kittle.
I mean, Waller's been hurt and hasn't played well, so you could definitely see him dropping down a lot.
I can see Kittle as kind of the tiebreak, like kind of the chair break.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, really, no tight ends have been kind of playing up to where you expected. Freiermuth is really a kind of a bright spot.
Position,
especially after today with these 12 targets. And he's been getting the targets for several weeks.
And the Steelers moved Claypool to make room for for Freiermuth, right?
Yeah.
So I think if you're getting him at like D8, big time discount on him right there. Like that's like a massive mistake by drafters.
Yeah.
I get it because like who else are you going to take ahead of him? So yeah, you're right with Kittle. So Kittle I could see as probably as a DE3, right?
Right.
I forgot about him, honestly. Waller is probably not in the conversation anymore, sadly.
Yeah.
But that's fine for us because I think you'd want Waller as your second tight end, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, obviously, Gerald Everett has been playing pretty well. Sometimes he's not going to be playing tonight, but...
But you can't have him in over some of these guys.
Yeah, right.
Because he really needed Mike Williams and Keenan Allen out of the picture to do much.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So speaking of which, we should get into our predictions or like our fun facts for the evening. So we're looking at as a reminder, we do this before the Sunday night and the Monday night games kick off. So what are you expecting to see here from the Chiefs Chargers tonight? And then Niners Cardinals without Kyler Murray.
Yeah, well, I mean they're all gonna be kind of interesting. Chiefs obviously are without Juju. Cole Hardman is on IR. You kind of hope this is like a coming out party for Kadarius Toney. If it's going to happen, it's probably going to be tonight.
Oh, you and everybody else, man.
That's what you're hoping if you're drafting him. I mean, I don't know.
I'm kind of hoping we see a little bit of sky, but like that dream is totally dead.
I've kind of given up on that. And obviously, I mean, Jones is not going to play again. Ronald Jones, that is. So kind of this morning or last night, I was looking at picking up running back, I think. I wanted to pick up Keontae Ingram in a pretty deep league. And
you should.
Jones was sitting there, you know, 10 straight inactives, and I'm like, I think it's time.
You got to move on.
So I did it.
I'm excited to see what, you know, Justin Herbert looks like with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams back. Like, we haven't seen this in a while. So Keenan Allen is on a snap count. I'm optimistic that Mike Williams can make it through the entire game. There's been a lot of like really bad discourse, I think, around Justin Herbert. Everyone's like dogging on him for not being as elite as some of these like really good quarterbacks. And like the issue is that while his O-line, not only is his O-line one of the worst in the NFL, his supporting cast is terrible. Like you're asking him to make Joshua Palmer and DeAndre Carter and a lot of these guys look very good. And maybe they look good from like an EPA perspective or like some perspective, like from like advanced metrics. But the thing is like it takes there's a lot of contextualizing that really takes place. And this is where like I think a lot of analytical models tend to break a little bit, is like they're inaccurate in terms of discounting what a lot of these guys can do, right? Like a lot of the discussion around like Herbert's like yards per average is like a complete red herring because you're not really gonna heavily or steeply discount him. I genuinely don't care enough to find a model or like create a model and then go and argue these like facts, because to me there's better things to do in my life. Like I'm sorry. Like I genuinely have better things that I can do. And then two, I'm never going to be 100% right on that direction, but I do know for a fact that I will be right in terms of where his improvement comes from. You know what I mean? Like there's like almost nothing to be gained and only downside from even engaging in conversations like that.
Right. Yeah. One question I had on kind of the Chargers is whether you think that getting Allen and Williams back is going to hurt Eckler's outlook. Do you think
it should? I mean, it should. It's what happened to him at the start of the season. Remember when they were actually throwing to the wide receivers and everyone was like up in arms because Eckler was pretty dust.
Yeah.
And now he's seeing like 12 for 13 targets a game. And that's where his like ridiculous dare has come from, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously you would expect most of the people who lose targets with Williams and Allen back are going to be Palmer, Carter, guys like this.
I think Eckler's going to lose the most of them if they're both healthy.
Yeah.
I think it's an easy 50% discount on how much he's getting.
50% discount. So like his target.
He's still going to get like 6 targets a game. That's ridiculous. His
targets get cut in half or cut.
Just cut in half. Like he's still going to get like 6 targets a game. He's not going to get 12 again.
Yeah.
He's really been seeing a lot, right? Like, because they've been using him as essentially a wide receiver for like most part.
No, for sure.
Which in turn has, you know, dragged down her charge per attempt, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not like it's one hand feeds the other type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the value in like wading into a discussion about that, at least on my perspective, is legitimately, it's not worth my time.
So if you're okay, well, let's have it anyway. If you're if you're the Chargers, would you rather be throwing to Eckler or to DeAndre Carter?
If you're trailing, probably Carter
or Josh Palmer.
Well, I think Eckler's got his place, right? Because like it depends on the play call, but. Just in a vacuum where you need like a deep play, Carter or Palmer.
Yeah.
I mean Herbert's got the arm. It's not like he lost that strength. It's not like he has a noodle arm and he needs to rely on Yak a lot, right? That's why Mike Williams has been like his go-to guy because he just makes those deep plays and then compiles Yak, right?
That's true. Eckler's just so good with the ball in his hands.
It's a CMC question, right? Like
right.
Like if you're gonna check down, like thank God you're checking down to one of the more elite Yak running backs in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we get out of here, man, what are your thoughts on Thanksgiving slate? Bills at Lions, Giants at Cowboys, Patriots at Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, I think Giants are really interesting if Wandale can go. If not, that probably becomes a little bit more exciting, a little bit less exciting.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to see Josh Allen get fully healthy against Detroit. That could be a game with a ton of points.
Yep.
So that one would be pretty. That's definitely a game worth watching on Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully, Minnesota can bounce back against New England. But Patriots defense can be tough. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm just hoping everybody is a happy and safe Thanksgiving, enjoys the games, put some irresponsible bets out there, you know, just have a good time.
Definitely, yeah. And on that note, we'll call it a night. So unless there's anything else we need to cover.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, remember to rate and review the RotoViz channel on YouTube and leave us rate and review. I don't know. Just do all the things you're supposed to do. Subscribe to the channel. You know, other people say it better than me. Anyway, have a happy Thanksgiving. See you later.